You know, it always fascinates me when I think about it. Remember, democracy chose Barabbas over Jesus. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying I don't love democracy. I am, however, going to cite that it is perhaps not perfect all the time. They did choose Barabbas over Jesus. Other fun fact of the day, in case you're curious, this is a fun nuance of the English language. It doesn't always struggle everywhere else, but there are some of those really fun words in English where you spell them the same, but you pronounce them different, like read and read. If you notice, there is a particular one on page 10 in the Passion. It's spelled P-R-O-P-H-E-S-Y. It is both a verb and a noun. When you speak of a prophet who is giving a prophecy, we pronounce it prophecy. In this particular case, it is actually a verb. It is pronounced prophesy, but it's spelled the same, so there's no way to know unless you know whether we're speaking about the verb or the noun. So when it comes to Good Friday, now you know. Lead the rest of the group, and you can save them all. Congratulations. I didn't tell anybody else that, so, you know, that's your secret knowledge for the day, so that's exciting. It is an incredible mystery that we're about to enter into. These final days of Lent, this holy season of the Triduum, and all of the great mysteries that are contained therein, and we have a moment to consider the Lord's Passion itself. We have a moment to consider the great gift of exactly what it is that Jesus set out to do. Never underestimate, this was the goal. Jesus was born, he stepped into this world, he entered into this relationship with us for a very specific purpose. And this is it. It is this remarkable moment, and really it fascinates me when we really consider it, because it is unique among all of the other faiths. I hear criticism from time to time. I'm sure you're not immune to it either, but I still hear it occasionally. Aren't all religions basically the same? Always makes me cringe when I hear it. Looking at the fringe and the accidents, we might think that it looks pretty similar. But at the very heart of who we are as Catholics, the very center of Christendom, is something markedly different from any other professed faith. It is this great curiosity. God restores a broken relationship with himself. God restores a relationship back to humanity. Think about it. We entered into a world with the intention of having a right relationship with God. God made the world, he made us, and he wanted us to live into this beautiful relationship. And we screwed up. We did. We broke the agreement. We committed the sin. We made the separation. But it's God who seeks to rescue us. It's actually God who grants us this appeasement, this restitution. Think about it. What other faith can claim that? When was the last time you read about Zeus actually making the sacrifice in order to restore his relationship with the people? Or Jupiter, or Baal, the head of the Canaanite gods? Or when was the last time you read about a Phoenician god making the effort to try and restore his relationship with his people? I suppose the better question is, when did you last read about a Phoenician god at all? But, you know, that's neither here nor there. When was the last time you read about Prince Siddhartha, who later would be referred to as Buddha, making the effort to make the world Zen because he was the one who wanted to restore people to it? You see, the fact of the matter is if you look at other faiths, they justify some bizarre act of violence in order to grant an appeasement to try and make things better with their relationship with their God. Never fully restored, but, you know, always working towards that. Really, ancient cultures, it's fascinating. A lot of virgins have to die in order for simple things to happen. Iliad and the Odyssey are a great example of that. Virgins had to die just so they could go to war in Troy. Virgins had to die so they could safely make it home. Virgins had to die in lots of other places in between. It's kind of awkward. It's a terrifying time to be growing up, really, if you think about it. But singular, among all of this violence, is a loving God who, despite the fact that he has committed no fault, despite the fact that he is actually without failing on this, decides that he wants us to be restored to him. And he sends it in this greatest act of love. He sends his child, his son, his only, his beloved, his begotten. And he sends his son so that we can be redeemed. He sends his son so that we have the possibility of being saved. We can still turn it away. It's not even forced upon us. And this son, who is God, willingly takes this sacrifice upon himself, willingly endures what will culminate in an execution. This Jesus, who did not actually regard equality with God a thing to be grasped at, though he himself was God. Instead, he was willing to empty himself, taking the form of a slave. Willingly submitting himself to be in human appearance, he humbled himself even to the point of death, an execution of the most horrible kind. And it is because of this that God exalts him. That at the very name of Jesus, every knee should bend above heaven, above the earth, in the earth, and below the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What wondrous love is this that caused this Lord of bliss to die for me?